Scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. It's important to know that this is the very end of Mark's Gospel. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" from the entrance to the tomb. When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. May God add a blessing to the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Will you pray with me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. It is good to be here. Happy Easter to all of us. I ask you a question. Did this gospel story deliver for you today? Is this what you expected to hear on Resurrection Sunday? You know, Mark was the very first gospel written. Out of the four, he was the first gospel written. And his ending, you know, it ended right there. His ending really unnerved many people. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, again, is the real ending of Mark's gospel. Your Bibles might contain verses 9 through 20, but every single Bible, the conservative, progressive, whatever, will have a footnote that will say that 9 through 20 is not in the ancient manuscripts, meaning that was the end of Mark's gospel. But it disturbed many copiers. You know, they had to copy it by hand. It disturbed many copiers, so they added a little bit as the years went on. It disturbed Matthew a lot, so he added an appearance of Jesus. It really disturbed Luke, because Luke added a whole lot at the end of Mark's gospel. But Mark does not have an appearance of the resurrected Jesus. No walk to Emmaus, no eating of fish, no appearing to Peter at the lake, no challenging of Thomas. All we have is an empty tomb and some dude in white and the women leaving in silence. No wonder it disturbed so many people. Where is the triumph? Where is the triumph of Easter? The triumph of Easter can mean so many different things to different people. When I was little, the triumph of Easter was the candy left behind by the Easter bunny. It was a great morning to come downstairs and hunt for candy and check out what the Easter bunny left in our Easter baskets. But I figured, growing up and becoming a minister, people might see a different side of me than the candy-obsessed wacko that Easter would bring. Well, a couple weeks ago, a church member approached me and asked where she was supposed to drop off the candy for the Easter egg hunt. Well, I didn't know, so I said, "Why don't you leave it in my office?" And she said, "Bill, I'm not falling for that. If I do that, please make sure to have it, to make sure that it gets there for the Easter egg hunt." And I go, "All right." And so then, a couple days later, I get an email from a totally different church member. "Hey, I left some candy for the Easter egg hunt in your office. It's not for you, hands off." Fine. And no kidding, can't make this stuff up, no kidding, coming home from the youth ski trip, I got a text from yet another church member. "Pastor Bill," it says, "I left some candy in your office for the Easter egg hunt. Don't eat it." Come on. So what did I do? I made sure that the children of Forest Park Christian Church received from my office 3 half bags of candy. All right, let's get back to Mark here. The problem we are having as a reader, certainly the problem that I'm having as a reader, is that we have traveled with Jesus for 15 chapters. We want to see the end. We want to see the end of the story. We went from the beginnings to baptism, to teachings, to healings, to the Last Supper, and eventually to the cross. We want to see the end. Why can't we see the end? But Mark doesn't simply give us a taste of the resurrection like the other Gospels do. He makes us work for it. The young man in the tomb says it all. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here. He's been raised. And he's waiting for you just where he told you he would be, in Galilee. If you want to experience the risen Jesus, you have to go back to Galilee. Going back to Galilee means going back to the margins where Jesus ministered. Going back to Galilee means encountering him again, feeding the hungry, driving out the demons of tormented people, preaching words of hope to the brokenhearted, healing those in distress, and breaking down walls that separate people. The resurrected Jesus is not here. He's in Galilee. So let me take you to Galilee. In the other gospel accounts, the resurrected Jesus appears to individuals and very small groups of people. You know, in his lifetime, he preached in front of thousands and thousands of people, but the resurrected Jesus appeared to individuals in small groups because the resurrected Jesus is about relationships. The greatest power in our movement is built in relationships, reaching out and making a connection to someone else. The church that the youth stayed at for this past ski trip and the ski trip before that is a church in Tabernash, Colorado, and I'm very good friends with the minister there. And she was telling me that they have a food bank, a community food bank, that people can just come and take whatever they want. It's kind of like our blessing box out there. They come into the church, and it's a huge closet, and they can take as much food as they want. The church members don't even walk down there and see what they're taking. If you're hungry, help yourself. So she had a couple volunteers. My minister friend had a couple volunteers to go to the store because the food was running low in the food pantry. So they were standing in line with about $300 worth of food, canned goods and non-perishables and these kind of things. And there were two guys in front of them, and they noticed how much food that these volunteers were buying. And they started asking questions, what's going on, what are you doing? And they said, our church runs a food bank where there's no test, there's no proof that you need it, there's no limit as to how much you can take. If you're hungry, help yourself. And the men got excited, and they said, tell me more. Tell us more about this church you're involved in. So they did. They talked about their church and about Jesus and about how we are to help one another. So the men left, and the volunteers started talking to the cashier because the cashier was interested as well. And the cashier was very excited about the ministry they were providing. So after that conversation, the cashier said, well, have a nice day. And they said, we hadn't paid for anything yet. They go, oh, the men in front of you took care of it. Yeah. Jesus is not here. He's in Galilee. Now, you can see this for yourself. You can see this when you talk to anyone in our community about Family Promise. Family Promise is a ministry that our church is involved with, letting homeless people for weeks at a time stay in our church, letting homeless families come and get out of the cold and get out of the elements and stay in our church. So I ask you, have you had the opportunity to tell people about Family Promise? Because I've told numerous people that we are a part of this homeless ministry. And all of them, they do not say, are you crazy? And they don't say, why would you do that? They don't say, are you sure that's the best thing to do? They say, that is awesome. I want to be a part of that. Jesus is not among the tombs, folks. He is in Galilee. Our secretary, Diane, whom many of you have met. I mean, she's a wonderful, wonderful church secretary. I've known her for many, many years. I've known her since elementary school. We went to the same church camp together. She was a lifelong member at First Christian Broken Arrow, and I grew up at First Christian Jinx. So our paths crossed over and over again at church camps and conferences and retreats and whatnot. So Diane has a special needs daughter. Her name is Reagan. And Reagan's about 5 or 6 years old. Now, when I meet younger children, I recognize that I come off as very scary, right? That's what I do. I am not unaware of this. I recognize that I scare children, all right? Because I'm this bald, huge, loud person that they don't exactly know what to do with. And I normally, when I meet a child of that age, I go, hello, like that. And the response is universal normally. I mean, they take about 2 steps back. They put their hands up and look up at their mom and dad. And their expression says it all. It says, help me. I think that's the guy who's been taking our candy. No, I don't know. So I knew Reagan had special needs, and I knew she was not as verbal as other 5-year-olds. What I didn't know was that she had an extreme sensitivity to loud noises. Yeah. So when I very first met her, Diane brought her to church because she was working on something, and she goes, this is my daughter, Reagan. And I go up and I go, hello, Reagan. And that way, and the response that I normally get didn't happen. She grabbed both ears and hit the floor. And I was like, oh, hey, what's going on? I'm sorry, what's happening? Diane goes, yeah, I probably should have warned you. She's got a sensitivity to loud noises. And I go, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. So for months after that, when she would come with her mom to church, I would go, hello, Reagan, how are you? Are you doing okay? It didn't matter. She saw me, grabbed both her ears, and shook her head no, just at me like this. But I kept trying. I kept trying. I still wanted to connect with this child. And I have an extremely hard time keeping my voice down, just in regular situation. People will say, do you have to always yell? Keep your voice down. We're not outside. I go, I know. I'm sorry. But I do not have a hard time around Reagan. So, after a couple months, she started peeking into my office a little bit when she would come with her mom. She'd peek in just a little bit just to see what's going on. And I'd say, hello, Reagan. How are you? So then eventually she started coming into my office. And we would play a little game on my calculator. She took my calculator, she'd punch a couple buttons and shove it over to me. And I'd punch a couple buttons and shove it back to her. And she started to laugh. That would make her laugh. And she has got a contagious laugh. So she started to laugh, which made me laugh, which made her laugh even more. So I really enjoyed the days that Reagan would come and hang out with me. So this past Tuesday, it was like 7 o'clock at night. And I was trying to work on my sermon. You know, it's a big Sunday, so I was trying to work on everything. I was trying to get Monday, Thursday service ready to go. I was attempting to help Rachel organize what I could in this walkout situation that we're going to have tomorrow. And Diane and Reagan came by. And so at this point in the story, I should tell you that we have bagpipers that practice here every Tuesday, right? And today they were in the sanctuary. And so they were putting their pieces and parts together. They were getting their instruments ready to go. And Reagan saw some strange people in the sanctuary. So she's looking in, and she kind of opened the door, and she's peeking in and everything. And, of course, they started playing. And we heard the bagpipes last week. It's awesome, but it's very loud, right? And I could see this coming a mile away. I mean, they started playing. She grabbed her ears and took off running. She didn't go into her mom's office. She went into mine. She ran up to me and leaned in, and she goes, shh. And I go, I know, Reagan, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, it's so loud. And then she looked over and saw my calculator and started laughing, which made me laugh, which made her laugh even more. So, yeah, go ahead and ask me about Galilee. Of all the things that the resurrected Jesus showed us, being in relationship is number one. Mark didn't just give that to us, though. He showed us where to find it. Jesus is waiting for me and for you on the shores of Galilee, eager to be in relationship with us, but also to create a space where we can be in relationship with one another. So if you want to celebrate resurrection, if you want to sing and pray and praise to our Lord, if you want to proclaim from the depths of your soul that he has been raised, then you have come to the right place, for he has indeed been raised. But if you want to experience resurrection, if you want to experience Jesus, then it is time to go to Galilee. Praise be to the God of resurrection. Amen.